Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Nun Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Take note that today's shiur will begin 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Hei Omid Beis. With this, we are beginning a very famous Agadic section that deals with the tragedy of the Churban Habayis. Churban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and along with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara accounts a number of other tragedies. So we'll be seeing in the next couple of Daf and Daf Nun Vov and Daf Nun Zayin and Daf Nun Ches, that is till the bottom of Daf Nun Ches, topics that are associated with that era, the era of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara is also known as Gemaras that one is allowed to learn under the restrictions of Torah learning on Tisha B'Av, at least as this recording is being made and the Moshiach and the building of the Beis HaMikdash have not yet taken place. So these are the sections of the Gemara that one is entitled to read on Tisha B'Av, to learn on Tisha B'Av. The markings that you notice on the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Klali, we note, until Daf Nun Ches, and we call this Agodos Churban, Agadic passages regarding the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And on the side, we're going to feature a triangle highlighting the word Nosei. And the reason for this marking is that you'll be able to see three major Agadic sections that are featured. The first one is Kamsa Bar Kamsa. And if you skip ahead till Daf Nun Vov Omid Beis, Nun Zayin Omid Aleph, correction, you'll notice another Nosei, the next Nosei after the Kamsa Bar Kamsa story is Tarnagolta Chorev Tur Malka. That's the second one of three passages that the Gemara will feature at the very opening of our Gemara. And the third of the featured stories that our Gemara mentions is found on the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, the story involving Saka de Rispak Chorev Beitar. Of course, these words don't mean anything yet, but all we're trying to do is give you the lay of the land, so that on Nun Hey Amud Beis, we start with Kamsa Bar Kamsa. On Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, you'll then see the other two stories that the Gemara makes mention of over here. Needless to say, as we do many times in our Gemara Markin Shurim, we are presenting the Gemara on a rather superficial level, emphasizing the structure of the Gemara and the translation, but there are many, many wonderful commentaries that present a deeper understanding of these Agadic passages, as well as, of course, throughout the Shas. So we're issuing our disclaimer right here at the beginning that we're presenting the Gemara superficially, so that you get the general idea, but we're not going to be delving into commentaries and deeper explanations that are certainly warranted. The Gemara. Again, 8 lines from the bottom of Nun Hei Omid Beis. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Dichtiv. What is meant by the Pasuk, or what is the Pasuk referring to when it says, Ashrei Odom Mefachei Tomid Umak Shelibo Yipol Bara. Fortunate is the one who is in constant fear, worry, trepidation, and the one who is of tough, hardened heart spirit will fall into bad, will fall into evil. The emphasis, I believe, is on the second part of this pasuk. Makshelibo yipol bara. You'll see the relevance of that, of one who makes himself hard-hearted will find evil. The first part of the pasuk, though, Ashrei Adam mefachei tamid, fortunate is the one who is always full of pachad. Pachad is worry. There is a comment made first by Rashi. Mefachet. We're looking at Rashi more or less across from here. Doyeg lirois hanoilad. Person cares, he takes note to look into the future. In other words, to judge current circumstances and try to calculate what will they lead to. Shelo tera takola bekach im esezos. That if I do this and this, some stumbling block should not arise as a result of my actions. So with Rashi, you see also the relevance of the first part of the pasuk as well, that a person should calculate his actions and not operate simply on the spur of the moment or operate with impulsivity. Tosfos, the bottom, the last Tosfos says, Ashrei Adam mefachei tamid. The pasuk is praising someone who is full of worry. The Perek HaRoya, I mean, in Maseches Brochus, the last Perek, which is known as Perek HaRoya, it says, Chasya lehahu gavra, dehave mefached. Someone was seen fear-struck, being worried. Omalei chato'at. Oh, you must be a sinner. Dechtiv pachdo b'tzion chato'im. That one who is full of fear is a sign of sin, sinfulness. Uporach mikra dahocha. And the Gemara there in Brocha says, how can you say that sinfulness is manifest by one who is a sinner, as one who is full of fear? Here, with the Gemara is praising one is full of fear. Umuki la bedivrei Torah. And the Gemara there sets up this pasuk as Ashrei Adam mefachei tamid, having to do with Torah learning. Shedoyeg shelo yishkach tamudo v'choizam shmosu tamid. He's one who is worried that he might forget his learning, and as a result of that worried, that worriedness, he is motivated to constantly review his Torah studies. And here the pasuk is cited regarding these uvdi, or these incidents, these maisim shebatchu al roiv toivosam v'shalvosam. They were reliant on their state of peace and tranquility, figuring, oh, we have it good, we can get away with whatever, the vayeshes bar kamsa, and to, as a result of their complacency, they took the liberties of embarrassing this man, bar kamsa v'lamod al bas kesar, and that's a reference to one of the subsequent stories, v'hoyo lohem lefached v'lidoig min apuronos, and they should have been concerned with possible repercussions. V'lo domi la'odom hamispachid b'chinam. And this is not similar. This is not similar to one who is simply walking around in a state of worriedness, which that would be a reference to a sinner. So that we can say, Ashrei Adam mefachei tamid, fortunate is the one who is always worried. One pshat is what the Gemara in Brocha says, one who's worried about forgetting his Torah. And also to not to fall into a state of complacency. It's good to be in a non-complacent state so as to avoid taking liberties which could have negative repercussions. Now the Gemara, we continue. This pasuk, therefore, of Ashrei Adam mefachei tamid umakshelibo yipol bara, akamtzu bar kamtzu chor v'yushalayim. As a result of the story involving Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, we're not suggesting that these two men are responsible for the destruction of Jerusalem. As you'll see in the Gemara, it's the story in which they were involved. That's the superficial translation. Of course, we're going to see later that Bar Kamsa is is a catalyst for the destruction. Kamsa in the story that we'll see is actually not in the picture. He's just referenced to. Nevertheless, a story, an incident involving these two gentlemen led to the destruction of Jerusalem. Atarnagola Vitarnagolta Choruv Turmalka. And as a result of a story involving a male and female chicken, Turmalka is an area, a region, a place in Israel which was very populated. It was destroyed. And Asaka Derisbach Choruv Beita. Asaka Derisbach is the side of a wagon. Therefore, the story involving the side of a wagon, which is featured on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, just like the second story of Tarnagol, Law of Tarnagolta, is also on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph because of a story involving the Saka Derisba Choruv Beitar. Beitar was a major population center in that era. It was destroyed. And now the Gemara goes over the first story. Akamtso Bar Kamtso Chor B'Sholayim. Tahu Gavro de Rachme Kamsa Ubal Dvove Bar Kamsa. There was a man, and he appears in this story in an anonymous fashion. We don't see his name. This anonymous individual, Rachme Kamsa, means he was a friend. He had affinity towards Kamsa, and he was hateful. Of Bar Kamsa. So you have two people with almost the same name. One is called Kamsa, the other was called Bar Kamsa. Rashi says, Kach Shem Shnei Yehudim. They're not necessarily related to one another. Bar Kamsa would mean the son of Kamsa, but it doesn't necessarily mean the son of this particular Kamsa. So there are two people, and there was a man who had an affinity toward one, and negative feelings toward the other. Avad Sudasa, this anonymous man, made a meal, prepared a meal, a feast. Omar Le Lishamei, and the host said to his Shamei, his servant, Zil Isi Li Kamsa, go and invite, fetch for me Kamsa. I want him to participate in the meal. Ozal Isi Le Bar Kamsa, the servant made a mistake, and he ended up inviting the wrong man, the opposite man, so to speak, the one that the host doesn't like. Also, Ashkechei Davi Yosef. The host comes to his feast, his meal, and he sees that Bar Kamsa is seated there. Omale, the host says, Michti, let's looking into this, what's going on over here, he says, Ahu Gavra, Baal Devova, Dahu Gavra, Hu. Saying regarding himself, Hahu Gavra means that man, but it's a common form of Talmudic license where a person refers to himself using that expression. So he says, look, you know, I and you are at odds. Baal Devova, we are at odds with one another. We hate one another. My boy, Socha, what are you doing here? Kumpo, get up and leave. Omale, so Bar Kamsa, who's seated there, and he's not seated alone necessarily. There are other people there. He says, Hoyl vasoi, now that I've come, Shafkon, leave me be, v'yayivno loch deme ma da'achilno v'shosino, and I'll pay you for that which I eat and drink, so that you're not going to be losing out financially as a result of my being here. We continue at the top of Daf Nun Vov. Omar Le, lo, the host says, no, I'm not accepting that. I want you to leave. Omar Le, and now this goes through a couple of stages as we go on. Omar Le, Yahiv Naloch Deme, Palga de Sudasa, de Sudasech. You know what? I'll pay you for half of your entire meal costs. Not just my portion, but half of the portions of all the guests. Omar Le, lo, the host says, no. Omar Le, Yahiv Naloch Deme, Kula Sudasech. So Bar Kamsa says to the host, I'll pay you for the entire event, the entire meal. Omar Le, lo. Host says, no. Nakte biyode viukme viafke. He took him by the hand, by the arm, picked him up, and threw him out. Omar, so Bar Kamsa, now the victim of an extremely embarrassing situation, he reacts. Hoyu vahavu yasvi rabonon velo mochi bei. Since the rabbis were present here and they didn't protest, they saw me subjected to public humiliation and remained silent. Shma mino konicholu. It's a sign to me that they're approving of this. Ezel, I'm going to go. Echu buhu kurtsu beimalka. This expression, echu buhu kurtsu beimalka, means I am going to, tell on them. I'm going to the authorities, and I'm going to become an informer regarding them. And you'll see what his plan is. Ozel, he goes. Omar le Kesar. Barkam, so says to the Caesar, Mordu boch yudoi, the Jews are rebelling against you. Omar le miyemar, the Kesar says, who says? Omar le, I'll show you, I'll prove it to you. And this becomes our topic, where we've written on the side, Nisayon Shabbat Kesar lahalshin, lachshilam, Derech I HaKrovas HaKorban Shu Hitil Bomum. This is going to be Bar Kamsa's attempt to inform on them and to have them knocked down through the non-offering of a royal sacrifice, in which this Bar Kamsa imposes a blemish, which renders a sacrifice unfit to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kesar, after asking who says that they're rebelling, Bar Kamsa says, Omale Shodar Luhu Kurbanop, Chosis I Makrivin Le, you send a sacrifice to the Jewish temple and see if they offer it. Ozal, the Caesar went, Shodar Biode, Eglotilsa. He sent through him, through Bar Kamsa, Eglatilsa, a third born or third developed, a different pshatim one, Eglatilsa's a calf. But it's a high quality animal, a very desirable animal. He's sending it as an offering to the Beis HaMikdash. Bahadei de Kaosi, as he was coming, as Bar Kamsa was coming with the animal, Shoda Be Mumo, he imposed upon it a blemish beneath Sfosayim in its upper lip. The upper lip of the calf, he made some type of blemish, which v'amri lo, another version is bedukin shiba'ayin. He imposed a blemish in the part of the eye of the animal called the dukin shiba'ayin, a part of the eye. Duchto de lididon havemuma. It's a place that for us, lididon means for us, meaning for our temple, for our Beis HaMikdash, offerings that are brought there, even brought by non-Jews, which is, of course, welcome for non-Jews to offer sacrifices, but when it comes to our Beis HaMikdash standard, Havim Muma, these would be a Mum, either the Niv Sfasayim Mum or the Dukin Shiba'ayin Mum, they would be blemishes, rendering it unfit. Ulididhu. And however, for them, for a Goy offering on a personal sacrifice, an offering to God, which is allowed. It's not something that a Jew is allowed to do, but a Gentile is allowed to set up his own personal altar and offer a sacrifice to God. And there are laws that govern those types of sacrifices. And amongst those laws, you find that if an animal offered by a goy has that kind of blemish, there are other blemishes, for example, missing limbs would not be acceptable on a goy's personal altar. But this kind of blemish in the lip or the eye would not be a problem. So what do we have? We have an animal sent by the Caesar into which a blemish was imposed, and now the question is, are we going to offer it? Sovarabonan, this double under this underlining highlights, you'll see two stages of thought in the story by the Rabbanan, which are going to be refuted by Rabbi Zechariah. So we've highlighted these two with this particular marking. Sovar Rabbonan Lekruve. The Rabbonan figured, you know what? We better offer this Mishum Sholom Malchus for the preservation of the national peace. It's true that this is not allowed by letter of the law, But for Shola Malchus, which gets you into the realm of saving life, if you have enmity toward the Jewish people on the part of the secular government, especially a government that would quickly execute someone who offends them, so we have a right to supersede or overlook most halachas in the Torah, including this realm of offering a sacrifice with a mum, especially this kind of mum, we'll call it a low-level mum, if you will. That's the impression the Gemara gives you. Let's offer it. Omar Lahu Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis. Rabbi Zechariah said to the Rabbanan, hey, you better not offer this. Yomru, people will say, Bale Mumin Craven Lagabi Mizbeach, that it's allowed to have blemished animals in general offered on the temple Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara doesn't reveal how much power, who this Rabbi Zechariah was in terms of influence, but it seems that he carried a great deal of weight. He was, through his objection, you see that the korban wasn't offered. Sovor lemiktele, the lo lezel velema. The rabbis had in mind, well, now we have this Shalom Malchus problem. We're now, if we don't offer this, we're going to be in danger. So maybe it's better for us to execute this Bar Kamsa so that he shouldn't go and tell the authorities that the Caesar's sacrifice wasn't offered. Well, that's the Rabbonan's idea. Omar Lahu Rabbi Zechariah, he intervenes again. Yomru. What's interesting here is that the full name of Rabbi Zechariah is not spelled out, which is unusual. Oftentimes, if the same person is speaking, the whole name is spelled out. But you see from the context of Mora, it seems to be the same person. So Rabbi Zechariah says, Yomru Matil Mum Bekotshim Yehoreg. If you execute Bar Kamsa, people will conclude that it's a capital offense to impose a blemish in sacrifices, which of course is not the case. But he's worried about what people will conclude. So you see on two counts, Rabbi Zechariah is worried about the conclusion people will reach. That's why we've dashed underlined the expression Yomru. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. At the end of the day, what happened is that the Caesar's sacrifice was not offered, and nothing was done to Bar Kamsa. He went ahead with his plan and squealed on the Jews and informed upon them that they are rebelling. Rabbi Yochanan points out, Anvesenuso Shrabi Zechariah ben Avkulis. Rashi says on the word Anvesenuso, on the fourth line from the top, Rashi says, Savlenuso, Shesoval Eze Velo Horgo. Savlenuso, his tolerance. Lisbol is to bear, his forbearance, his tolerance of this guy, of Bar Kamsa, ended up with Hechriva Es Beisenu, Vesorfa Sechelenu, Viglisonu Meartsenu. His tolerance, and we said before, you can see he seems to be a very important, very central figure, and as a result, his word carried the day, and the result was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the burning of the Heichal, and the exiling of our people from our land. A new marking appears, a diamond, on the side of the Gemara, the Mivneh heading. We've indicated Shmichas Kesarim Lichboish Es Yerushalayim, the descending of people who turn out to be Caesars sent to Jerusalem to destroy it. Shodar Olayu Leniron Kesar. Ki Ka'osi, the Shodar Olayu Leniron Kesar would mean that this Nero, the Caesar, was sent upon them to destroy Jerusalem. Ki Ka'osi, on his way, Shodar Gira LeMizrach Osa Nofa B'Shalayim. He engaged in type of fortune telling. Rashi calls it the Liksoim Kesem. It's the realm of magic and fortune telling. He started to shoot arrows, and he shot an arrow in the east, and it landed in the direction of Jerusalem. Lamarov, he shot an arrow to the west, also Nofel Yerushalayim, and it fell on Jerusalem. La'arba Ruchos Shemayim, all four directions, also Nofel Yerushalayim. The arrows all ended up landing in the direction of Jerusalem. So that would certainly be a form of fortune telling, seeing a very unnatural behavior result of the arrow shootings and the same ultimate location, indicating to Neron that it must be divine providence that I should continue on to Jerusalem. Amalei Leonuka, he then approached a child. Psokli Psukha, state the pasuk, the verse that you just learned. Amalei, and the child says, V'nosati es nikmosi be'edom biyad ami Yisrael. I am the Almighty going to take vengeance upon Edom. Edom, the Edomites originated with Esav. His nation gave birth, so to speak, to Rome, and the Rome and what it represents, the world of Christianity, Western civilization, is considered an extension of that. So the pasuk says that the Almighty says, "I am going to take vengeance upon Edom." Edom, Rome, who ultimately is responsible for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, through my nation Israel. In other words, the Jewish people are going to, through them, the Almighty will take vengeance upon Rome. Omar, so Nero, heard this, and he put everything together, and he said, the arrows would seem to indicate that I am to go and destroy Jerusalem, but I'm not going to get away with it. That when Jerusalem is successfully destroyed, the Almighty will take vengeance upon me. So he said, Kutsha brichu boy lechruve beise, the Almighty wants to destroy his home, he'll destroy his temple, uboy lechruve bahu gavra, and then he's going to wipe his hands clean through me. Notice again, ahu gavra, the third person, reference to the speaker himself. Well, he didn't want to have any part of it. Orak, the ozal, the agayer, Nero ran away. He converted to Judaism. V'nofak mine, Rebbe Meir, and eventually there came forth a descendant from Nero, the great Tano Rebbe Meir. Shadre Elihu Laspasianus Caesar. The Roman government then sent Aspasianus, also Tsar Halot Loshani. He laid siege upon Jerusalem for a period of 3 years. So you're probably wondering how are the Jewish people in Jerusalem able to withstand a siege for a period of 3 years? What about food and supplies? How do you maintain yourself? The Gemara explains, and here we have the topic heading of Kimmel Ashir Yerushalayim, three wealthy men in Jerusalem, and we'll see what we mean by wealth. Havu Bala Hano Tlosa Asiri. There were three very wealthy men, and their names are Natimon Ben Gurion, Ben Kalba Savua, Uben Tzitzakeses. The Gemara gives some insight into their names and goes over them. Natimon Ben Gurion, Shenokto Lo Chamo Bavuro. The Gemara in Tainus relates a story that we're not going to relate to in our shiur today, but there was a miracle involving Nakdimon Ben Gurion, where the sun, after day's end, the sun miraculously shined forth, and that is what the sun pierced forth, shining forth in his merit, a miraculous event, and hence the word, the name Nakdimon, being a silly word, Nokta Lochamo. Ben Kalba Savua, this wealthy man, Shekola Nichnas Lebesos Shuroiv Kekelev, Anyone who would enter his house famished like a dog, yoytze kishu sovea, would leave with a feeling of satedness, of satisfaction. So his name, kalba, is dog, sovua, satisfied. Ben tzitzis hakeses. Here we have two explanations. Shohoiso tzitzisoi nigreris al gabi xosos. The tzitzis, the fringes of that hung forth from his four-cornered garments, would drag along upon xosos, upon silks. Xosos are often translated as pillows or mattresses, but he never walked directly on the ground. That's a man, you can imagine, of great wealth. Wherever he walked, they had placed on the floor silks. So that's one explanation. Iko di Amri, another explanation. Shoiso kisto mutelis bain gedole romi. His seat, his cushion or seat upon which he sat, was positioned amongst the leaders of Rome. Now, according to this pshat, tzitzis is, that's ben tzitzis hakeses, ben tzitzis was his name. So where does the word keses come in? That's a reference to the kisei, his chair, what he sat upon was positioned amongst the great leaders of Rome, indicating a man of a very high stature. So we have these three men, and now you'll notice the double underlining scheme. This highlights each one and what they were able to offer to maintain Jerusalem under siege. Chad Omar Lahu, one said to them, Ano Zaino Lahu Bechiti Usairi. I will support them through wheat and barley. Chad Omar Lahu Bedechamro Uvedemilcha Umashcha. I will supply wine, oil, and Lechamro is wine, milcha, salt, mashcha, oil. V'chad omar lehu b'ditzivi. And the third one said, I'll supply them with all their wood, which is essentially their fuel needs. V'shovchu rabbonin l'ditzivi. And the rabbonin said, they praised the offer of the wood as being like the greatest contribution, one of most value. You notice we have a bracketed section. After the brackets, the Gemara continues with the issue of their wealth and their level of wealth. Within the brackets, the Gemara will focus on this praise of the wood. So that if we skip the brackets for a moment, use your bracket length indicator to the side, you see where they end. Havu lehu lemezan esrin v'chad shosa. They had enough wealth amongst these three individuals to sustain the population for 21 years. We go back to the bracketed section. More having commented, v'shavchu rabbonon, shavchu is to praise, the tzivi, the one who provided the wood, the Rav Chista, Kol Aklidi Havamoser L'Shamei Bar Meditzivi. Rav Chista, who was many years after this, hence we're dealing with a separate reference to the praiseworthiness of wood. It says Rav Chista would entrust all of his keys, Aklidi or keys, to his shamish, to his servant, except for the keys to his wood supply. The Yom Rav Chista, Achleba dechiti boy shisen achlebi detzivi. One storehouse of wheat. Chiti is wheat. One storehouse of wheat. Boy shisen achlebi detzivi requires 60 storehouses of wood, meaning the amount of baked goods that one could prepare from one storehouse of wheat when it comes to fueling up ovens to bake all of that flour into baked goods, you would require 60 storehouses of wood. So that you can imagine the amount referred to when he said he would supply them with their wood needs. Now, continuing with the Gemara after the brackets, Havalahu, Lemezan, Esrim, Vishchat Shalsa. They had enough. These three wealthy men had enough to support the population for 21 years. Havabu, Hano, Biryoni. Amongst the Jewish population, you had these Biryoni. Rashi says, Anoshim Reikim, Upochazim, Lemochama. These are people that are empty, and or they're, but we would call them warmongers. Omru Luhu Rabbonon. The Rabbonon said to them, Nepuk v'navik shalma b'dayup. Let us go and make peace with the enemy, with those holding us under siege. Let us make peace with the Romans. Lo shavkinhu. The warmongers didn't allow the rabbis to carry out their plan. Omru Luhu, the Biryoni, the warmongers said, Nepuk v'navid krova b'dayup. Let's fight them. Let's make war with them. Just as a parenthetical comment, the Roman Empire at this particular time was the masters of civilization, the most powerful entity of that particular era. You have to take pause and wonder how in the world could these Biryoni attempt to even think about warring with them. So that there must have been some kind of phenomenal power within the Jewish people, and you can see between the lines that they were under siege for 3 years. That means they were able to hold up against the Romans for 3 years, not a small matter. So they, however, insisted on warring with them. Omru lehu rabbonon, the rabbi said to them, lo mistaya milso, you're not going to be successful in defeating them. Well, that frustrated the Biryoni, and they forced their position as by doing the following. Kamu, they arose, kalinu lahano ambri dechiti visari. Kalinu is they burnt the ambri, the storehouses of wheat and barley, v'havah kafna, that resulted in famine. We have a very long bracketed section, and the starred note on the side, there's a double star, and it reads, Achrei sugra gemara mamshicha b'inyan abiryonim. After the brackets, the Gemara will continue with reference to these biryonim, actually a reference to a specific one. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will make reference to the level of famine through the personality, through the eyes, through the experience of a woman, Marta Bas Baitus, Marta the daughter of Baitus. And hence, on the in the our other margin under the Nosei heading, we indicate in the brackets, Besograyim Sipuro Shel Marta Bas Baisis, the story involving this woman. And as we said, the point of this is to show the level of poverty, of famine that had been reached. The Gemara, Marta Bas Baisis, Asirosu Shem Havya. She was one of the wealthy people of Jerusalem. The Gemara elsewhere, if I'm not mistaken, in Maseches Ksubos, describes her wealth, makes reference to her wealth. Shadrasa l'shlucha. She sent her agent, her shaliach, her servant, v'omra le zil aisi li smida. Go out and get for me some smida. It's fine flour. It's, we call it solas. Adozel izvin. By the time he got there, to the where they sell it, it was already sold out. Also, Omar lost smida leko chivrusa ikup. There's no more soles smida flour left, but there's chivrusa's white flour. That there is. Omra le, and you'll see this goes on and on. We have numbering in the Gemara. These are different levels of what happens. We're going in descending order. Omra le, she then says zeal icy le. Well, then get me that. The white flour. Adalzalism, by the time he got there, was sold out. Also, the Omer law, Chivrisoleka, there's no white flour. Gushkira Ika, but there's bran flour, or it's bread called Paskevar. Paskevar is, that's the term you can see in the Rashi. It's a poor quality bread. It's made of flour with bran mixed in. Omar le zilaisi lo, get me that. Adol zilizavin. By the time he got there, it was sold out. Also, the Omar lo gushkara leko kimcho desairi ika. There's no more gushkara, but there is barley flour. Now, barley in general is associated with animal feed. And so he says there's barley flour. Omro le zilaisi li. Adol zilizavin. By the time he got there, even that was sold out. Avishlifa misana, she was, shlifa means removed from her foot, misana, her shoes. She didn't have shoes on. Omra, she figured, she said to herself, Epuk ve'echsi imashkachno midi lemechal. I'm going to go out and find, is there anything to eat? Asiv lo parsa. We have an aleph here. This is the first of two versions of the story as it continues from her desire to go out and find food. So the first version reads as follows: Esiv lo parsa bekara umesa. That when she put her foot down was from the context it appears she was barefoot. There stuck to her foot some animal dung. That parsa is perish. Perish is refuse, animal waste. Got stuck or literally sat upon her foot. That's Esav la parsa bikara, upon her foot, umesa. And she died. That it shocked her so much. She was a delicate, refined woman from very wealthy status. And that just was too much for her to handle. Kori Allah, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made reference to her, to her death, the pasuk that says, Haraka b'cha v'anuga asher lo nisto kafragla. The delicate among you who are very sensitive, and reference in this pasuk is made to feet that had no experience with anything like this. Iko Diamri, another version of what caused her death. Grogers Rabbi Tzodok Ochlov Isnisa Umesa. There's reference to Rabbi Tzodok and his grogros. Grogers are figs. They're actually dried figs. We'll discover what that is in a moment. But she ate the that which remained from the dried figs of Rabbi Tzodok, and that was it caused a sense of revulsion at Isnisa, and because of that revulsion and her sensitivity, it overcame her and she died from that. There's another bracketed section, and on the side we have a starred note. Achreasugran Gor Mamshichu Binyan Marta Bas Bises. Right after the bracketed section. The Gemara continues with her, with Marta. Now, Besochas Ubrayim, Muvo Horeka Le'oisim Grogros Dravitzok. Within the brackets, the Gemara explains a little more about the figs of Rabbi Tzodok. So now, that having been said, the Gemara within the brackets pauses and deals with the figs of Rabbi Tzodok. So let's continue with that. The Rabbi Tzodok Yosef Arboin Shonen Betanisa. Rabbi Tzodok lived at this time period, close to the destruction of the temple. He observed 40 years of fasting. The lo lechem shleim, in the merit of his fasting, Jerusalem should not be destroyed. Ki ava ochel midi, when he would eat something, he was so emaciated, hava mischazi mevroi, you could see the food going down his throat. Mischazi means visible, mevroi, from outside. So you were standing next to Rabbi Tzodok, at this point you would see the food going down. V'chi hava bori maisi le grogros, when he finished his fastings and wanted to restore a sense of health to himself, maisi le grogros. They, as many of you are probably aware, a person who is famished has to be very careful before he returns to a normal pattern of eating. And he took those measures. And what did they do? They brought him grogros, dried figs. Dried figs have a little bit of, dampness within them, a little bit of juice within them. Maitzi mayu, he sucked out the water, the liquid within them. Fishadi lahu, and then whatever remained, the meat, the fruit itself, he didn't consume that. He threw that away. And that is what Marta Bas Baisus, according to the Iko de Amri version of the story, the Bay's version of the story, she found those and she ate them, but it was revolting to her, and she died. We go back to Marta, ki hava konicho nafsha, when she was about to die, afikta l'chol dava v'kaspa, she took out all of her dava, gold, kaspa, silver, shadise b'shuka, she cast it into the public market, omra, and she said, hi, l'mai mivi le'li. This, all the gold, all the wealth, what do I need it for? V'hainu d'chtiv, and it's with that in mind that the Pasuk says, Kaspam b'chutzos yashlichu, their silver, their wealth, they'll cast out into the streets. And as you can see, we've come to the end of the angular bracketed section, and we had indicated before that we're going to pick up now with, after having described the dire famine that they had experienced, where even the wealthiest of the people had nothing to eat, we're now going to go back to the warmongers. On the side, we have a topic heading, which reads, Abba Sikra Rosh B'Yun Yishalayim. Abba Sikra is the name of the head of the warmongers. Achyonu Shreb Yochum and Zaki happened to be the nephew of the great Reb Yochum and Zaki, who was the Jewish leader of the time. V'atochnis, the plan, L'avriach is Reb Zakei me'evu l'choy Meis Yishalayim. And we'll see a plan to get Reb Yochum Zakei out of the walled city of Jerusalem. Out of it means out and into, the enemy camp, the Roman camp. The Gemara. Abba Sikra, Reish Biryoni Yerushalayim. Abba Sikra was the head. Reish means the head of the Biryoni, of the warmongers that we featured above. Bar Achte, the Rabbi Yochanan Zakei Havei. Bar Achte means the son of the sister of Rabbi Yochanan Zakei, making Rabbi Yochanan Zakei Abba Sikra's uncle. Sholach le ta betzino legaboi. Rabbi Yochanan Zakei sent a message, come in quiet, in private to me. Also, he came. Omar le, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakei, the uncle, says, ad emas avdisu hochi v'katlisu le la'almo bekafno. How long are you going to behave thusly and end up killing all of us in famine? Rashi says, "Ad emosai avdisu hachi delo shavkisun leashumi," that you're not allowing us to go and make peace with them, to surrender to them. Omar le, Abba Sikra responds, "My avid, what can I do?" And remember, bearing in mind he's the leader of them, he says, "What can I do? The amino luhumidi, if I open my mouth, if I say anything to them, Katlumi, they'll kill me." Omalei, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakei says to his nephew, Chozi li takanto lididi de epok. Efshu dahava hatzola porta. Think of a plan for me to get out of the city, get over to them. Maybe we can have some kind of small salvation. Omalei, so the nephew, Abba Sikra, says, I have an idea. You want to get out of Jerusalem? Nekot nafshach. Maybe before we do the actual Gemara, let's just describe the plan orally. The nephew Abba Sikra advises Rabbi Yochanan Zakei to feign death, and he'll be carried out of the city, of the walled city of Jerusalem, to be buried outside the walls. And of course, we said he's feigning death, and eventually he can that way get out of the city alive and meet the Roman leader. So now we'll read this in the Gemara. We also have a long point marking. This is the plan. Nekot nafshoch b'ktziri. First, feign illness. B'ktziri means make yourself ill, or I should say, create rumors that you are ill. V'leisi kulei alma v'lishaylu bochent. Many will come to visit you, visit the sick, as if you're in the throes of death. V'aisi midi saria, and bring something that has a very foul odor, like a dead animal. V'agni gaboch, and lay it near you. In other words, put it under your bed, and people will come in thinking that you're already dead, as the dead decay, creating a foul odor. V'leimru, and they will say, denoch nafshoch, that you died. V'leilu boch talmidoch, and arrange for your students to enter. V'loleil boch inish achrina, and no others should come in. And we talk about the having your students come in, they should come in for the purpose of carrying your coffin, the stretcher, the coffin out, and make sure that only your students participate in this and not anyone else. Why not? The lo lirgishon boch de kolulat, that they shouldn't feel that your kolul means light, lightweight, lighter. The inu yadi, people know the chai kolul mimisa, the living are lighter than the dead. In other words, a corpse will weigh more than that very same person while he was still alive. So if others will come and carry you out, they'll sense through the relative lightweightedness that you're not really dead. So you have to have people that are gonna keep quiet and play along. That would be true only if it's your students. Ovid Hachi, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai carried this out. Nifnis by Rabbi Lozer Mitzad Echad, Rabbi Yeshua Mitzad Acher, two of his greatest students, the Tanoim Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yeshua, one stood on one side and the other stood on the other side, and they started to carry out Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Kimotu lepischa bo lemidkere, when they reached the exit from the city, the pischa, the entrance or the exit of the city, they wanted to pierce him with their spears to verify that we're dealing with someone that's really dead and not some kind of scheme. Omar lahu, so Abba Sikro said, Yomru, well, people will say, the ones that wanted to pierce him, from the context, it would appear to be the Biryoni, who were so insistent on no one leaving the city, they would be the ones that would have speared him. And Abba Sikra said, well, if you do that, Yomru, they will say, the Romans will say, regarding you, Rabbon Dokru, their own rabbi, their own leader, they pierced. So you guys don't want the Romans saying such nasty things about you. Bo lemidchefe. Well, they figured they're gonna shove him. They're gonna push him out. Maybe if he's still alive, he'll scream. Omar lahu. So Abba Sikra once again says, Yomru. They're gonna say Rabbon Dofu. Look how they push their own leader. So that was convincing. At least these Biryoni were concerned enough about their own reputation that they desisted from their ideas of either piercing or shoving him. Poshulei bava nafa. They opened the gates and they exited. Kimota lahosam. When he reached the Roman official, Omar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai spoke up to the Roman official, the leader, and he said, Shalmolech Malko, Shalmolech Malko. He said, peace unto you, the king. Peace unto you, the king. Omalei. So the Roman official said, Mechaivis Trei Katla. You know, you're guilty of two counts of capital offense. Literally, two deaths. In other words, for two reasons, you could be put to death. Chada delav malka anovika koris li malka. First of all, I'm not a king, and you're calling me a king. That itself is an insult. It's an insult to the real king, and it's like you're making fun of this guy who's not really a king, and you're calling him a king. And furthermore, if I'm really a king, so why up till now have you not come to me? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responds. And he responds to him point for point. And that's why you see this this volcano-shaped marking highlighting the 2 points. Diko Amris, that you said, and we also have a little lettering that corresponds to the letters we just had, Aleph and Beis. So he says, Diko Amris lav malko ano, on your claim that, well, I'm not a king, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ibro malko at, in truth, you are a king. Dei lav malko at, if you weren't a king, if you weren't a top, the top man, Jerusalem would not have been given over to you. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Valavonon ba'adir yipol." Let's just make before we get into the continue with the text. It's a point that's worth pondering, and that is that throughout history, something is phenomenal. Throughout history, the Jewish people have experienced pogroms, massacres, and even worse. You'll notice each time it's at the hands, and we talk about pogroms and massacres, we're not talking about local incidents, local tragedies. We're talking about on a national level, the oppressors have always been the top, the leading power of the day. Whether it's the Babylonians who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, at that time the Babylonian was the leading empire. It's true, they fell shortly thereafter to the Persians, as you know in the Purim story. And then the second Beis HaMikdash was the national calamity of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash was at the hands of the Romans, the leading power of the time. And if you go ahead in history a few hundred years later, a thousand years later, if you will, even a little more, you run into the Jewish people. The major center of Judaism was in Spain and Portugal, the well-known, the infamous Spanish Inquisition, under the leadership of the Catholic Church, certainly the major force of the time. Again, that downfall of the Jewish people was at their hands, the Spanish Empire, if you will. And then, as you go on in history, the terrible events of World War II, of the Holocaust, of course, that was the Third Reich, the Nazis, Yimach Shemom V'Zichrom, they, of course, were the leading military force of their time. So that the Jewish people, even in their time of destruction, through the Almighty's will, he nevertheless honors the Jewish peoples in the sense that it's only if you're a mighty great power will I give my people over to you. But to some ragtag hoodlums, common thieves and all, that lowly backward type people as an enemy force, that would be a degradation of the Jews. So that just to reiterate the Almighty's love of the Jewish people, that even in their time of destruction, he nevertheless preserves their honor in this sense. And with that in mind, we continue with the Gemara. The pasuk has said, "V'halavonon ba'adir yipol." Now we're continuing with the third line from the top. "V'in adir ela melech." The word "adir" is a reference to a king. "Dichti v'hoyo adiro mimenu," and the pasuk goes on to say, "U'moshlo mikirbo yetse." Moshlo is a leader, so that in the context of leadership of monarchy, you see the word "adiro." The ain levonon in the pasuk that we mentioned on the second line from the top, the word levonon appeared. That is elo beis hamikdash. The word levonon is a reference to the temple, the holy temple. Shenema Hohor HaToyf Hazeh V'Alavonon, this wonderful mountain, and the Livonon. What's the connection between the Beis HaMikdash and Livonon? So at the root of the word Livonon, you see the word Lavon, white. White has to do with something that's clean, which is purified. The sins of Israel are purified or atoned for through the offerings of sacrifices, through the presence of the Beis HaMikdash. So the pasuk on the second line from the top said, "V'halavonon, the Beis Hamikdash be'adir yipo, will fall only at the hands of an adir, of a king." So that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is saying, whether you know it or not, if you're the one who is right now conducting the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, you must be a king. And second point, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, "Utuko amris imalka no amai lo kaosis legaboy anu idno." With regard to your charge against me, that if I am a king, why haven't you come to me till now? Biryoni de isbon lo shavkina, the warmongers amongst us didn't leave me to come to you. Omar le, so the Roman official says, ilu, and he responds to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai with an analogy, and he says, ilu chovis shel dvash v'dakan karachalel. If you had a barrel of honey and there was a serpent wound around the barrel, preventing access to its contents, lo hayu shoverness achovis b'shvil darkon, would they not have smashed the barrel in order to access the honey? Rashi says on the third line from the top, Ein shover nesachovas kedei shielich lo adargon kachoy olachem lahashvus choy masoir ulesor fubeish kedei lahashlich oisun biryoni mitocha. So using this analogy, he says that would you not have smashed the barrel in order to get the serpent to escape, to run, to disappear? Likewise, you should have smashed the city walls and burnt the walls down, so as to enable you to throw the biryoni, who are parallel to the serpent, throw them out. So that the Roman official said that you're not explaining why you didn't come to me. If you're going to say the biryoni were the problem, so you should have ejected them, as I just suggested. Ishtik. And to that, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai remained silent. He had no response. We have a new marking, the diamond marking, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, these are Shnei Mikrim. We'll see two occasions. Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef was an Amora many hundreds of years after this story. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Divrei Bikuris, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rabbi Yosef criticizes the Tana, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. So the Gemara continues, Kori ole Rav Yosef, v'itema Rabbi Akiva. Some versions have not Rav Yosef the Amora, but rather Rabbi Akiva criticized. He said, Meshiv chachomim ochor v'daitom yisakel. He quotes a pasuk, which says that the Almighty manipulated the minds of the wise men, of the rabbis, and he confounded their thinking. In other words, there really was a response, but it seems to be divine, some level of divine intervention that prevented Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai from responding as he should have. Iboya lei lemei malei, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai should have said, Shaklinon tzafsa, v'shaklinon lei ledarkoin, v'katlinon lei, v'chavisa lo shavkinon la. If you're going to use the honey barrel analogy, so that what we were hoping for was that maybe we could have somehow overcome the biryoni and not have to destroy our city, and through that we would have been able to make peace while preserving our city. And now, as far as the translation of the Gemara is concerned, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai should have said, as far as a serpent wound around a barrel, well, we should have taken a tzvas. A tzvas is a utensil, like a tongs. A tongs or a long pliers, and grab the serpent from the barrel and
kill the snake, and preserve, leave the barrel whole. And as we said, that was what we were hoping for. To get rid of the biryoni, somehow overcome the biryoni, without having to destroy our city, and in that fashion, made peace with you. But he didn't say that, and Adohochi, in the meantime, Osi Pristika Ole Meromi. A Pristika is an agent, an emissary from Rome came to him, to this particular occasion, the site. Omar Lay, and the agent said to the Roman official leading the siege, Cum de mis le Caesar, get up, the mis died. The Caesar, the current Caesar in Rome, just died. The Amri and the Roman Senate said, Hano, the Amri, Hano, Hashivi, the Romi, the leaders, the important ones of Rome, the Roman senators, they said, La'oisivoch Beresha, to appoint you as the head. In other words, you were chosen to be the successor to the helm, to be the new Roman emperor, the king. Hava Sayim Had Mesani. He was wearing one shoe. At this time, when the agent came with this good news, he had been wearing the Roman leader, the official, was wearing one shoe. Ba le misaimo l'achrino. And he wanted to put on his second shoe. Lo ayon, it didn't go on his foot. Ba le mishlefa l'idoch lo nafak. He wanted to take off the one shoe that was on his foot. He wanted to take it off. Maybe at least I'll find a larger pair of shoes. If I can't to fit my expanded feet, but now he couldn't take off the original shoe that was on the one foot. Omar my high. So the official said, "What's going on here?" Omar lay. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, "Lo titzdar, have no fear. Shmua toiva asiloch. Good news has just come to you." Dichtiv, and the pasuk says, "Shmua toiva." Tadashin Otsem, good news, Shmuta was good news, causes the swelling of the bones. And that's why your feet have expanded. And as a result of that, the second shoe you can't put on, and the first shoe is now too tight for you to take off. My takante. So then, what's the solution? So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, I have an idea for you. Lacey Inish. Bring a man, the lo meisva daitoch mine, someone that you don't like, that causes you to be upset. The lachlif kamoch, and have him walk in front of you. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, ruach necha tiavesh gorem, a contrite spirit. Ruach necha means someone who is disillusioned, someone who is upset. That dries up the bone. Well, he did that. He listened to that idea, and it worked. And the shoe went on. Amalei, the Roman emperor, the Roman leader says to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, "Me'achar dechachmisu kulehai ado hidno amai lo asisu legaboy." After this great wisdom that you possess, why is it that you haven't come to us till now? Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, "Velo amiloch, didn't I already answer that? The biryoni prevented us." Amalei, so the goy says back, "Anonami amiloch, I also answered you. I told you what you should have done." Amalei, mezel azilno ve'inish achrino mishadarno. So the goy says, "Listen, I'm going to be going now, and someone else is going to be sent here, my replacement. But in the meantime, that I'm still here, elaboy minoy midi de'atemoch. Ask of me something, put a request, give me a request of me something that I can grant you." Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, and you'll notice we have numbering here, 3 points. Tein li yavne v'chachomel, very well-known statement. He says, you know, at least give me the city of Yavne. Yavne was a seat of Torah learning. Preserve that. Don't destroy that. Eradicate Yavne and its wise men. Vishushilta de Rabbon Gamliel, and give me, preserve for me the the family of Rabban Gamliel, the Shilshiltas, the family, the royal line of the Jewish people, Rabban Gamliel being a descendant from the house of David, from King David, so preserve them. The Asfasa de Masyon Le Rebbe Tzadok, and give me doctors that will heal Rebbe Tzadok. Rashi says, "Vasvasa roifim tainli ma'anashecha. Give me some doctors from amongst your men. Shiapu es Rabbi Tzadok shelohoya yochel ivloa oichel. He was so emaciated that he couldn't swallow food. The fish niskatsu me'av v'tanios of his digestive system became so contracted as a result of his fasting. Kori ole, again, you see the diamond, and here Rav Yosef enters. Vitamo Korele Rav Yosef, Vitamo Rabbi Akiva, another version like we saw before, may very well have been Rabbi Akiva. Meshiv Chachamim Ochor, Vedaita Misokel. Apparently the Almighty has taken over the controls, so to speak. Iboya Leila Meymar, he should have said, Lishavkinu Hoda Zimna. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had the opportunity to have a request fulfilled. He should have said, leave us be now. In other words, spare Jerusalem. Leave us be. The who saw Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was calculating. He figured, I'm not going to ask for that because Dilma Kule Hai Lo Ovid. Maybe that's too much, so much they wouldn't grant me. If you go for too much, you'll end up with nothing. So he was calculating, and in this case, there was logic to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. You can debate that, but nevertheless, he had his point. You can see that again. We have a bracketed section. After the brackets, the story continues with the Romans replacement, the replacement for the Roman official that was currently leading the siege, and we mentioned that he had to return to Rome to assume the kingship, the Caesar status. So who was sent to replace him? That's what the Gemara deals with after the brackets. Now within the brackets, the Gemara discusses what was necessary for the healing, for the recuperation of Rebbe Tzadok. So that if you skip the brackets for a moment, Ozal Shadre Letitus. So they sent to replace the head of the siege, Titus. And as we said, the Gemara will then continue with the appearance of Titus and his blasphemy regarding the Almighty and the Beis HaMikdash. Now, within the brackets, we tend to what's necessary for Rabbi Yitzchak's recuperation. Asvisa demasyon le Rabbi Yitzchak mahi. What was the remedy for Rabbi Yitzchak? This will be presented in stages. Stage 1, Yuma Kamo Ashkua Maya Depori. On the first day, give him to drink. Ashkua is to give to drink Maya Depori, water in which bran had been soaking. Lamochar Maya Desipuka. The next day, give him water in which there was a mixture of bran and flour. So it's water in which you have bran and flour mixed. And lemochar, and after that, on the third day, maya de kimcha, water mixed with flour, ad de ravach mei, purta, and until his digestive tract expands little by little. Ozal shadre letitus. So they went and sent Titus. The Omar, and he blasphemed. He said, "Hey, Elokeinu Tzur Chasayuba, where is the God that they had their faith in?" Ze Titus Harosha. This is the speaker of this pasuk, so to speak. The one who would blaspheme like that would eventually be the evil Titus Shefirev Vegidev Klapi Malo, who blasphemed and cursed heavenwards. Ma also, what did he do? Tofa Zoyne Biyado, he grabbed the harlot, v'nichlas the base Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he entered the Holy of Holies. V'tzia Sefer Torah, and he took a Torah scroll and spread it out. V'avar alei avera, and he engaged in an act of intimacy with the harlot right there in the Holy of Holies while lying on the Torah scroll. V'natal sayef v'gider as a poroches. He took his sword and slashed the poroches. The poroches is the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum, from the rest of the Beis Hamikdash. V'nas enes, and miraculously, a miracle happened. The hoya dam mevatzveis, and blood started to spurt forth, to flow forth, the yotzei, and that's to come forth from the slash that he made in the curtain. The kosovor, and he figured, Titus figured, oh, horag es atzmo. This is a euphemism. So it's a euphemism, but the meaning is that he thought that he had killed the god of the Jews. Shenemar. Shogu tzorerecha bekerev moadecha samu oisoisam oisois. We take a look at Rashi about halfway down, a little in the Rashi column. Shogu tzorerecha bekerev moadecha bevayes shata misvayed bo. In the house that you occupy, samu oisoisam oisis omru shesimonehon simon. Damze shomi hu imlo shahargo esatzmo. So the enemies scream forth that hooray, hooray, that they killed the one who occupies the house. We have a marking, and on the side under the mivneh heading, these are shtei drushes beinyan shtikas Hashem. We have two drushes regarding the Almighty's silence. In other words, the Almighty allowed this to happen. Two drushes regarding that. Abba Chonon Omer, Mi Komocha Chasin Ka. Mi Komocha, who is like you, Chasin V'Kashe. Chasin means someone who withholds himself, Misapek, who, as we say, withholds himself, and that's a sign of strength. She'ata shomea ni'utza v'gidufa shel oisu roshu v'shosek, that you, the Almighty, are able to listen to this blasphemous cursing of that wicked man and remain silent. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana mi komocho boilim Hashem. And the drasha of Rabbi Shmuel on that pasuk is mi komocha be'ilmim, who is like you amongst the ilmim. Ilmim is a mute, those who remain silent. These are two drashas recognizing the power of one who hears, who's witness to his own deprecation, his own degradation, and doesn't react. Ma osa not also paroches vaso kemin gargusni. He took the curtain of the Beis Hamikdash and he made it into what appeared to be a large basket. Vehevi kol akelim shebemikdash, and Titus gathered all the vessels of the Beis Hamikdash. Venichon bohen voshivon besfina leilech lishtabech biro, and he gathered them all together. With the idea of putting them in his boat and sailing homewards to Rome to show off his pride in his city. Shenemar uvechein roisi rishoyim kvurim vavo umimkoim kadosh yalechu v'yishtabchu v'ir asher kein osu. And the pasuk portrays the wicked that come forth from where they were to their cities to seek out their pride. The Gemara continues, says Al Tikri Kavurim. The pasuk that we just had, the word mentioned, Rishoyim Kavurim. Don't read it as Kavurim. Kavurim would mean buried. I saw the wicked that were buried. Don't read it like that. Ella. Kivutzim. Kivutzim means gathered together. The reference to the wicked gathering together, the
the temple vessels. Al tikri v'yishtakhu. The pasuk itself had the word v'yishtakhu in it. Don't read it as that. Elo v'yishabhu, seeking their pride. The Gemara continues. Iko diamri. Another version is kvurim mamish. The pasuk that mentioned that which is buried is to be taken literally. Dafilu mili de mitmiron igalio lahon. Even things that were buried away, the wealth of the Jews that was buried away, they revealed, became revealed to them. So the story continues with Titus, with his holy booty on board, sailing homewards. Omar Olov Nachshol Shabiam Latovo. A wave came. Nachshol is a storm at sea, arose, threatening his drowning. Omar, so Titus said in a highly cynical tone, Kemedumani Shalakeim Shalelu. It appears to me that the God of them, the Jews, Ein Vroso Elabamayam. He's a God who has strength only when it comes to water. And he proves it. He says, Bo Paro Tavo Beayim. Paro, who was a threat to his people, was drowned at sea in the water. Bo Sisra Tavo Beayim. Sisra, another enemy of the Jews in the period of the Judges, he came and was drowned in the water. Afhu Omeid Olai Litovani Beayim. And now regarding me, he's threatening to drown me. Im Gibor Havya, if he's really such a mighty God, Yale Liabosha Vyasi Mi Muhammad, he'll go on to dry land and war with me. On the side, we have a topic heading. Really, it's a continuation of this, but Hasotas Titus Uchuvas Abasko Tilochim Im Hayitush. Here we'll see the response that came from heaven to Titus, and let's see if you can war with a yitush. Yitush is an insect, a small flying insect. In modern Hebrew, yitush is associated with a mosquito. For our purposes, it's a reference to a small flying insect. Yotza, we continue in the Gemara text. Yotza basko v'yomrlo, a heavenly voice came forth and said, Rasha ben benoishel esav ha-rasha. You wicked man, the son of a wicked man, a descendant from Esav the wicked. Briakala Yeshli Boilomi, I have a small, literally a small light creature in my world, the Yitush Shmo. The name of it is a Yitush. We have brackets. After the brackets, it's just a half a line in brackets, but afterwards the words of the Baskol continue. Here the Gemara interrupts, and we continue in the reading. Amai Kori Lo Briakala. Why is the Yitush referred to as a Briakala, a light, insignificant creature? Because Dama'alno is Lo Umafkna Les Lo. When you look at the creature, you see that there's intake, and it doesn't have any outtake. In other words, it seems to eat, and nothing is no waste comes forth from it. Doesn't have any exit point. The Gemara after the brackets continues. Olo liabosha, ale liabosha. So the Baskol says after addressing him as the wicked one, I've got a small yitush, and ale liabosha, go on to dry land. Vitase imo milchama, I'll try to war with it. Olo liabosha, in other words, the storm at sea, in fact, did not drown him, and he reached dry land. A yitush entered his nostrils, reached his brain, and it started to nokar, to penetrate his brain over a period of 7 years. Yumachad havakoch, and he experienced a great pain from that experience. Yumachad havakoch cholif abovo de beinapcho. One day, Titus was passing by a blacksmith shop, shomakol arzafto, and he heard the sounds of a hammer banging or clanging away. Ishtik, and the pain that this yitush was causing him stopped.
Omar Titus said, "Oh, iko takanto. Now I found a solution. I have hope. Kol yoma maisu napcho umochu kame. Every day, a blacksmith was invited to be in his presence and banged away. Now the blacksmith that was invited might have been a Gentile, might have been Jewish. So the Gemara says, Lenochri yohiv le arbazuzi, a Gentile that served in this capacity." Was paid for Zuz. Zuz being a type of coin, so he paid for Zuzin. In Israel, if a Jew was the blacksmith, Omar Le Mistayach, he would, Titus told him, it's enough for you to kochozis besanach, that you see your enemy suffering, that you see me suffering, that's your reward. Atal sin yoimin ovan hochi. For a period of 30 days, this was. He did this. It was effective. Mikan ve'elech came into dosh dosh, but beyond that, the yitush that was in his brain got used to it and learned how to deal with the noise of the clanging and returned to its brain of affliction. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Pinchas ben Aroiva, ani hoyisi ben Gdeli Rumi, I was amongst the leaders of Rome. Ukshemes, when Titus died, Potsu es Mocha did a post-mortem. They opened up his skull. Umotsu bo kitsipur dror mishkal shnei sloyim. We found in it that yitush ended up to expanding to the point it was like a dror is a wild bird having the weight of two sloyim. It's a given weight. But that's what they found in his head. B'masni satana k'goizel ben shana mishkal shnei litrim. A different description, the second version, that it was like a little bird of a year old having the weight of two litrin. Omar Abaye, naktinon. Abaye says, we have a tradition that which was found in his head, piv shel nechishis v'tziponim shel bazel. This is, I would say, is quite obviously a reference to something of a mystical or a deeper hidden nature, but we'll translate. Its mouth was of copper, and its claws, its talons, were of iron. Kihava komayas Omar Lahu, when he was about to die, so Tito said, Likliua lahu gavra. His desire was to be cremated. Likliua is to be burnt, to be cremated. Lahu gavra, again, we see this as a type of euphemism, but it's a reference to himself. So he says he wanted to be. He says I want to be cremated. Velivduri likitme. Livduri is to scatter. Likitme, my ashes. Ashev yomi, over the seven seas. Delo lishkeche alokad yudoi. The Lukme Bedina, so that the God of the Jews shouldn't find me and then set me up in judgment. So he figured that by being cremated, he would successfully avoid the Almighty's judgment of Titus. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a marking scheme with on the side you see a nosei/mivne heading. A double underline marking appears, and you'll notice that this marking scheme continues till the upper part of Daf Nun Zayin Omen Aleph. The note on the side says Unklus Achiono Shel Titus. The Unklus, the nephew of Titus. Unklus is a name that we also find in association with the great biblical commentator, translator/commentator. Whether or not this, the Unklus referred to here, is the same as Unklus who is associated with the famous commentary, the Aramaic running translation commentary of the Chumash, that's something that one would have to investigate further. For our purposes, though, we're going to be making reference to this gentleman, Unklus, who turns out to be the nephew of Titus. This Unklus, eventually, we know that we'll see in the Gemara here, he wants to convert to Judaism. He, through magic,
brings up from the dead a number of people. But on the side, we know Titus, this Achyonish of Titus, Mala Bederach Kishuv, through black magic, he raises forth Mispar Anoshim and Amesim, a number of different people from the dead. The names are highlighted in the house markings, so you see Titus and then Bilam, and then a reference to Poshe Yisrael, which might be a code for the founder of Christianity. And he raises them from the dead, umavarer darkom, and through them he investigates, he clarifies, im kedai lizgayer, is it worth converting? And ma oinsham boilam emes, and what's their punishment, these wicked individuals in the world of the souls. So we continue now in the Gemara. Unklus bar clonicus, bar achte de Titus have. So this unklus was the son of the sister of Titus. It's interesting to note you have two major players in this Agoda, who were the nephews and specifically the sons of the sisters of the other famous people. We had Abba Sikra before, the nephew of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and now you have Unklus Bar Clonicus, the nephew of Titus. Boy, he desired conversion to Judaism. Ozal aske letitus benegida. He went and raised forth Titus benegida, means through some form of black magic. Reference is made to the oiv. The chumash refers to an oiv and yidoini. Whatever, these are topics that are beyond the scope of Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, but there were forces and powers that could be employed to bring up the dead. So he raised Titus from the dead. Omar Le Man Choshiba Amo. He asked Titus, in the world that you are, the world of the souls, the afterlife, who is important? Omar Le, so Titus said, Yisrael, the Jewish people. Mahu Lidbuki Bahu. So Unklus says, and what about clinging unto them? In other words, is it a good idea to convert to them? Omar Le, Milayo Nefishin, Velomotsis Likminu. Titus says, listen, they have a lot of commandments, there are a lot of laws, and you won't be able to fulfill them. Zil Igri Bahu. Instead, you know what? Incite them. Bahu Almo, in your world. Let's read that again. Zil Agri Bahu Bahu Almo. At least in your world, and we call it in our terrestrial existence, and in our corporeal existence, you go and incite them. Vahavis Reshan. Through that, through warring against the Jews, you'll become a chieftain. You'll become a head. The Pasuk says, Hoyut Soreha, the Rosh. Those who oppress Jewish people, they become the leaders. Kol HaMetzu Yisrael Nasir Rosh. Those who afflict the Jews, they rise. There's a note, a starred note under the Gemara text, says Kloma Kodim Shemetzu Len Nasir Rosh. This is what we mentioned at the beginning of our shiur. That means, but before you oppress them, you'll find that you become a leader. Shelo Yomru Biad Umushvelo Moser Es Bonov. So that it shouldn't be said that the Almighty gave over the Jewish people to some lowly people. So that if you plan to oppress them, to make that your agenda, so you will find that you'll rise to a high position, to leadership, and that's something that you can accomplish. Omar Le, so Unklus said, Dine do gavra b'mai. It's as if to say, okay, that's your plan, that's your suggestion, but what's the final outcome? So he said, Unklus is saying, what's the sentence that you received? Omar Le, so he answers, and we continue at the top of Daf Nun Zayin. B'may de posik anafshe. He says, you want to know what my sentence is? Exactly that which I had ruled, that which I had desired, that I posik anafshe, that I ruled for myself. Rashi says at the top, B'may de posik anafshe, mikli uvduri kitma. I had requested to be cremated, and my ashes scattered. So he goes on to explain, kol yoma,
Mechanshile lekitmei. Every day they gather together my ashes. V'daini le. And this is where Titus didn't realize that this could happen, but he was judged. The ashes were gathered together, so he was reformed into his original self. He was judged. And then v'kolule, they burnt him again. Umavdru ashev yomi, and scatter my ashes. And it seems that this was ongoing. So he experienced constant burning and constant judgment, and that's what happened to Titus. And of course, something for Unclus to think about regarding his uncle's advice. Also, aske le Bilam benegido. Unclus arose. Bilam from the dead through Megiddo, through the black magic. Omar le man choshebu amle, asking the same question: who's important in the world of the spirits? Omar le Yisrael, the Jewish people. Mahud of the Bukibu, what about clinging onto them? What about converting to them? Omar le. So he quotes a posuk. I would say it's out of context, but it says lo tidrosh b'shloimam v'toyvosam kol. Yomecha la'olam. We're reading according to the version you find in the Tanakh, as opposed to what's printed in the Gemara. But he says he quotes this pasuk, and as I say, if you'll notice, if you see the pasuk at the source, it has a different meaning. But he nevertheless, Bilam is saying, don't seek out their welfare all your life. All right. So Omar le dine do gavro b'mai. What is the judgment that you received? Amarle b'shichvas zera rosachas. This is, in fact, since we're dealing with Bilam, one should realize that Bilam, in the biblical account, was the one that gave the Moabite monarch Bolak the advice that if you want the Jewish people to stumble, so subject them, tantalize them through harlotry. You can look into the Chumash for a further description of that account in Parshas Bolak in Sefer Bamidbar. But we mentioned harlotry, and Bilam tells Unclus, I am judged in boiling Shichva Zera, it's a male semen. And we call that measure for measure. Also, laske benegido le poshe Yisrael. Now, if you look into different works, different commentaries, you might discover that this is a reference to what says poshe Yisrael means the sinners of the Jewish people. But it might very well be a reference to the founder of Christianity, whose name we certainly will not utter. Omar le man choshibau amo. So Unclus asks this individual, who is important in the world of spirits, or the world of souls? Omar le Yisrael, maulid buki bahu. And what about converting to them? Omar le toivosam drosh rosam lo tijus. This, of course, is in contrast to what Bilam said. He says, seek out their good, do not seek out their evil. Anyone who afflicts the Jewish people, one who literally touches them in an evil way, is as if they're touching the very pupil of the eye of the Almighty Himself. And Unclus asks this individual, who we suggest might very well be a reference to the founder of Christianity, what is the sentence you received? Amalei, I am judged in Betsoya Roisachas. I am submerged in boiling feces. Diomamar, and like you'll ask, what's the relationship between his actions and the boiling feces? So if one knows a little bit about the history of the founder of Christianity, one will know that he, amongst his numerous negative features, was the disparagement of rabbinic teachings, of rabbinic rulings, of the oral tradition. And it's said, Yomamar kol hamalig al divrei chachamim, who belittles, malig is literally to laugh upon, to disparage, to belittle the words of the sages, nidon betsoa rosachas. His judgment is to be in boiling dung. Tochazi ma bein poshi Yisrael l'nuviyei umos ha'olam oivdei avodah zarah. The Gemara says it's interesting to take notes. Take note. Tochazi, come and see the difference between the poshi Yisrael and the reference to Bilam above, who was a prophet of the nations of the world. The Bilam said, seek out their evil, don't seek out their peace and their good, and the poshi Yisrael nevertheless had a much more positive attitude, and so the contrast is pretty obvious. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Bore, Kama Gedolah Teicha Shel Busha. Come take note of the strength, the negative strength of embarrassment. And this is, of course, a reference to the beginning of this Agadic section of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, how Bar Kamsa was subjected to public humiliation. Shere Siya Kodesh Baruch Hu as Bar Kamsa, the Hechiv is base of Esor Fasecholo, and Kodesh Baruch Hu enabled through Bar Kamsa was the victim of Busha to have his own, the Almighty's own house, a holy temple, destroyed and burnt down to the ground. And Birtz Hashem, in our next shir, we'll continue with these agados. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.